There's certain people who, when you listen to them, when you get into their work and their perspective, and you just can't help but be inspired. And our next guest is certainly one of those. His life experience, the things he's seen, all goes to make who he is and his desire for us now. And it's so fantastic to have him. He's a former Black Panther member back in the old days, back in the good old days, as they like to say. He is taught on the university level on a variety of subjects, political science, what have you. He's, of course, extremely politically active, extremely concerned about our well-being, our universal well-being, and what's best for all of us. Larry Pinkney, it's always a pleasure to have him on. Larry, welcome back to the Power Hour.
It's always a pleasure. In fact, it's an honor, a distinct pleasure and an honor. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you. Thank you to the audience of the Power Hour Nation. Thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely. Last time you were on, you mentioned something that kind of stuck with me. I thought about it several times since then, and I'm going to start the interview there. Back in the 60s, of course, you had a lot of turmoil. We've had many guests to talk about how the CIA's goal was to take America from Leave It the Beaver to Woodstock. How fast could they do it? You know, 1963, Kennedy was killed up until Woodstock 69. How fast could they transform society and transform culture? In the middle of that was your experience with the Black Panthers, empowering people, helping to feed people, educate people, the independent spirit that you had, to arm people, make sure people were armed, basically to be free. And I think a lot of what you did was misunderstood. In the center of all this discussion, so important, COINTELPRO. You talked about COINTELPRO. First, define COINTELPRO. What is COINTELPRO?
Well, COINTELPRO, COINTELPRO, COINTELPRO stands for Counterintelligence Program. It was a program that was deliberately set up by what we now call the deep state, to frame, to murder, to discredit, to imprison political activists, and not just Black political activists, white political activists, brown, red, yellow, whatever, across the board, U.S. citizens, okay, who were dissidents, who did not like the way that the deep state was taking us, where the government was taking us. And that's in a nutshell what COINTELPRO was about.
Yes.
It was responsible for all of those things that I named.
Let me, and then you said something further in the interview, and this is what stuck with me. You said in their writings, in there that was released, that came out, this isn't you making this up, this isn't Larry Pinkney's opinion or Daniel Brigman's opinion. In their writings, their mission, one of their stated goals, one of their most important directives of the deep state was to ensure that a messiah would never arise again.
Exactly. And by the way, I'm glad you pointed out, though, that's not my statement. That can easily be found in the U.S. Senate hearings that went on in the 1970s, early 70s, in the Church Committee. U.S. Senate hearing. So, this was clearly stated that that is what it was all about, which I want to add right now, if I may, Daniel. This is one of the reasons I consider myself a patriot and am a strong supporter of our president, because I see the things that have been done to him and that they're trying to do to him and his family and his administration, and most of all to all of us. I see the same thing happening, only on a much higher level. But I'll just leave it there.
Well, I think that's important, and we'll certainly get into that, hopefully. Hopefully we'll have time. Who knows where, you know, when we get together, who knows where the conversation goes. But let's go back to the COINTELPRO. What does that say about where we are as a society, if you have this overarching, very powerful, very connected, very, their reach is very long. This was in the 60s we're talking about this. I mean, God only knows what we're talking about today, 50 years later.
Right.
In the
right.
60s, right. Their mission was to ensure that no Messiah would arrive. Messiah from what? Messiah to do what? To lead people to what? I mean, what does this say about what we're dealing with?
I think it points out just how incredibly insidious and dangerous. Those are the two words that I use. Insidious and dangerous. You know, today what we're dealing with is COINTELPRO on steroids. And I repeat, on steroids. Of course, they won't call it COINTELPRO anymore, but that's exactly what it is. And it says that our society is in deep trouble. It says our nation is in deep trouble, and the deep state has planned for this. This did not happen by osmosis. So what we're seeing has been planned and is still being planned. That's what it says about our society. And it says to each and every one of us, we'd better stand up. Now is the time. We the people. Black, white, brown, red, yellow, we had better stand up for the republic. Stand up for ourselves. Stand up for our families. Stand up for each other.
This morning, I don't know if you saw, Ross Perot passed away this morning.
Yes,
and,
I heard.
I don't know why I was, I have such fond memories of him in the 90s. You know, you hear that sucking sound? Well, that's your job, going to Mexico. You know, you could hear him in his accent. But he was running for president, and I can remember then he dropped it. He was doing very well, doing extremely well, and then he dropped out. And then later it came out that he said he dropped out because his family was threatened. He was threatened by this COINTELPRO or what have you. I look at people, this may not seem to relate, but I think it does. And so that people can see how entrenched this idea and this concept is. Andy Wakefield, he's been on the show. We've interviewed him many times. He was involved with Vaxxed about vaccines. Andy Wakefield, all he did in the late 90s was to question whether vaccines were safe and that maybe we need to delay the schedule and there might be something here. That's all he did. But he was a prominent voice, and he had some integrity. And so he asked that question. Well, the media attention and the attacks that went out on him were, oh my gosh, it was unbelievable what they did to him. And I can only, can't help but relate to you and your situation with the Black Panthers in the mid to late 60s. The perspective that was given to them, the stamp that was put on them, it's all COINTELPRO. It's all narrative control. It's all propaganda. Your feelings. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. The fact of the matter is, and I say this again, what we're living through and in today are important, exciting times, but we're also dealing with COINTELPRO on steroids. Now, the media did then, to the original Black Panther Party, I'm not talking about this so-called new Black Panther Party nonsense. As far as I'm concerned, that's a part of what we're having to struggle against. But anyway, the original Black Panther Party, our programs, our efforts to feed and clothe and educate and urge people to stand up for themselves. And I don't mean just physically, but I mean economically, I mean education-wise, et cetera, et cetera. All of those things were distorted. And it didn't happen by happenstance or osmosis. This was planned. My cousin, who I lived with when I first became a member of the original Black Panther Party, by the way, he was a Republican. He died as a Republican. He passed away just a few months ago. But he himself had the opportunity, I made sure he had the opportunity to meet Panthers. And he was shocked. He was shocked about the respect, the honor, the sincerity, and the for realness of the party members that I introduced him to, who came to visit him at his home. So you see, even someone who was as close to a Panther, i.e. myself, being a Panther, even he, to a large extent, had been brainwashed. But you see, he got over it. But he had the opportunity to see things firsthand, all right? And I'm saying that today what we're dealing with is even more entrenched. It's more entrenched. It's more insidious. You know, we have a media that's all about forming opinion. In other words, the so-called media is supposed to exist to inform we the people, but that's not what this media does. It exists to form our opinions, and we have got to stop accepting this. I call the media the vomit stream media. I repeat, the vomit stream media. Why do I refer to them as that? Because they regurgitate, as in vomit, they constantly regurgitate propaganda day in, day out, month in, year out. So the only thing that can really reverse this, we don't need to just stop it, we need to reverse it, is we have, as patriots, we have got to become and be and stay critical thinkers. We have to critically analyze, critical thinkers. So I probably got off the beaten track there, but what you said
we don't have a track. We don't have a track, Larry. Wherever you want to go.
Well, what you said about Ross Perot. Absolutely, I'm very familiar. I remember those times well. And there is absolutely no doubt in my family, in my mind, that his family was threatened. This is how insidious this deep state is. They are insidious. They'll do anything. Therefore, think about what our president is going through, what his family is going through. Think about how enraged and insane the deep state is. We've got to stand with him. We have to stand with each other. So, no, I don't think you in any way moved away from what we're talking about. I think the example of now late Ross Perot was a very, very timely example.
You talked about we must be critical thinkers. We must think outside the box, or, you know, however you want to describe that. What is our biggest challenge? What's our biggest hurdle to do that?
Well, I can't honestly say what our biggest hurdle is, but I can certainly say that certainly one of our major challenges, one of our major hurdles is we've got to stop being, you've heard the expression, sheeple. We need to be people versus sheeple. We need to question. Don't simply, we've got to stop accepting what things are put to us, or, you know, ABC, CBS, NBC, PBS, MSNBC, and even Fox. We need to question. Okay. And our hurdle, our challenge is getting folks to wake up. I like to say, get off the plantation. Get off the plantation. And that's not easy sometimes. You know, we have to go ahead, brother.
What does that mean? Wait, when you know, we hear that all the time. You need to wake up. I woke up. Please wake up. What does that mean to you?
It means to me that we are willing to go beyond simply accepting the official narrative. The official, you know, I think about, for example, and I'm stretching back to the mid or late 60s, the Gulf of Tonkin in Vietnam, okay,
yes,
where we were told by the United States government, then Democrat President Lyndon Baines Johnson, who just lied, blatantly lied. Do you hear me? Just lied, brother, about what had actually happened. That we've got to start questioning and thinking and saying, wait a minute, does this make sense? Does it really make sense? Is this true? Another example is the USS Liberty, a United States, okay, and what happened with the USS Liberty? And what was the official line? Oh, the official line was, well, the Israelis, they didn't attack the USS Liberty, but they did, and they tried to sink the ship. And they killed, in the process, many U.S. Navy seamen, okay? Imagine if they'll do that then, imagine what they do now. Imagine what they do now.
Yeah, so that was 52 years ago. That was 52 years ago.
Yeah, imagine what they do now. These people, I get very passionate about this because it's very serious for us. Okay, but our advantage is that it's like a brush fire. Okay, when a brush fire starts, a prairie fire, it spreads, and it spreads quickly. And that's what I'm beginning to see on the minds, first and foremost, in the hearts of we everyday ordinary black, white, brown, red, and yellow people, a prairie fire. And it's about time.
I think that, you know, get your perspective, being a black man, being the Black Panthers. I think that although, you know, there's cultural differences and races, and there's some uniqueness. There's a little bit of there's tribal elements to that. But I think that whole idea of division, people who start to think like you are describing, that division goes away, and we just start to see our commonality. And I have such respect for, some of my absolute best friends on the show are black. Pastor Wright, who are the most adamant about this, that we meet in the middle on freedom, and color means nothing to us. We have red blood. We have red-blooded Americans. That's what means something to us. Do you see that the people you talk to?
Oh, well, more and more. I should say increasingly I see that in the people I talk to, because they're becoming red-pilled. They're waking up. Okay, they're seeing that our struggle is about what we the people can. Folks will sometimes say, "Well, Larry, the Constitution didn't apply to this group of people or that group of people." And I say, "Of course." And did you expect perfection? And did you think that we were the only country? I mean, why, if it was so bad, why is it that the vast majority of countries throughout the rest of the world have imitated the U.S. Constitution, if it was so bad? Why have they studied it? Okay, so I'm not preaching perfection here. I hope I'm not preaching at all, but I'm not saying that we are perfect. I am saying we must stop allowing ourselves to be divided. Because as long as they can divide us and they play us off against each other, we remain powerless. Okay, ooh. And it's manipulation, and we must not allow this to stand. We must not be we white, black, brown, red, yellow. I don't care. What I care about is the republic. What I care about is our nation. We are one nation. And yes, we are different people, but peoples, that's what makes us strong. You know, but the Democrats especially play us off against each other. This PC, so-called political correctness, which there really is no such thing in politics, political correctness. What a stupid, ridiculous statement. Yeah. Political correctness. But anyway, go ahead, my brother.
You talked about let's get back to what you said about waking up. And you talked about this facade. You know, I'm just kind of thinking out loud. You know, the mm-hmm. fact, and we go over this all the time, and we have some of the most profound guests on that talk about this, so you being one of them, about the COINTELPRO. This isn't speculation, ladies and gentlemen. And just like Larry said, I hope this doesn't sound like preaching, but just this observation, as you begin to wake up and you begin to see these things, the key moment for me, in my own perspective, once you start to see the facade, that the illusion is painted up here for you, and behind the illusion is this great force that is trying to manipulate what's in front of them, try to manipulate mass of the people to do their will and to go certain ways. Once you believe that, once you see that, now your enemy, you know, black people aren't your enemy, or Chinese people aren't your enemy. You know, maybe illegal immigrants become a problem, but they're not an enemy. They're mm-hmm. part of this whole facade. The enemy mm-hmm. is not people. The enemy is this program and the believing the lie. The enemy is the lie that this facade is real and has legitimacy, because it has none. It has none.
That's right. That's right. You're absolutely correct. You know, it's something that all of us should constantly, and I do mean daily, think about it. I mean, you know, when we think about it, we need to use common sense. I know common sense is not so common these days, but we need to bring it back. It's time to bring it back. Common sense. Okay, and our identities, first of all, our first identity should be as what? Americans, American citizens. That's our number one identity. That's how I identify number one. I identify as a proud black and indigenous, because part of my family is indigenous native person. But my first identity is what? I am an American. Don't believe it? Go outside the country and see how they look at you. This is what I tell black American colleagues and or associates. They talk all this of stuff about, not all of them, but, oh, well, brother, we need to go back to Africa. Well, I've been to Africa multiple times. You go there and find out what you're looked at, how you're dealt with. You're dealt with as an American. You better wake up and understand that. Smell the roses. Come home. Work for the republic. I don't care what your color or what your gender is. This is our republic, and we'd better hold on to it. And even though some of our grapes might be sour, they're our grapes.
Ooh, I like that. We're coming on a break. We got about a minute or so for the break. I'll cut you off, and then we'll get on the other side. But I want to go back to originally you joined the Black Panther Party. What was that environment like? Why did you join? What inspired you? When did you first meet Huey P. Newton? Kind of that whole story. Why did you make the decision to join the Black Panther Party?
Well, I made the decision to join the party because I actually saw some Panthers. I was a senior in high school in California at the time. And I'd heard about these Panthers this, these Panthers that, okay, because the party was actually founded. It became national, but it was founded in California. It was founded in California in October, in Oakland, California specifically, in October of 1966. I joined the party the following year in 1967 in California, in Southern California. And what pulled me to the party was my observation of these young, and I was young. I don't know why I always called young people young when I was young. But anyway, seeing these young, disciplined. They weren't hollering and screaming. They were disciplined. They studied. They read. They went, wow, this is something I want to be a part of. That's what attracted me to the party. And I don't regret it, even though many of us paid with our lives and our families, etc. But, you know, it's important. But I guess I hear the music, so I should calm down.
Don't... You never have to calm down, but you just got to stop talking for a second. We'll stay tuned more with Larry Pinkney on the other side. What a voice. What a voice, ladies and gentlemen. ThePowerHour.com. We'll be right back. More with Larry.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy, and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rinse.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rinse.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kuryak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food storage, I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com. There you go. 877-817-9829. Great specials, of course, on Strauss Heart Drops. Many great products that we have. But the Heart Drops, the REM Sleep, we have a discount, free shipping right now. And also, if you sign up for auto shipping, you'll always get free shipping. So, you know, give Jay a call over at the Power Mall, 877-817-9829. Any order over $50, we've got a variety of products. You get the copy of my book, Forever 1776. Very happy for you to have a copy, and I think it's very important. This ideal, Larry talks about the Republic. Well, how can we defend the public when we don't even know what the Republic is? So this idea, this concept, our inheritance, who we are, very important. These ideas are bulletproof. And nobody understands this more than the deep state. Why do you think they have the COINTELPRO? Why do you think they work so hard for this illusion? Why do you think they're controlling media and the information so they can form something in you? Because society is not formed by events. It's formed by ideas. That's Hoover said that. Winston Churchill said something similar. That's where our society goes, by these ideas. So whoever can control these ideas, then they control the future. And that's what we're seeing. So Larry Pinkney here, former Black Panther member, very politically active, has been a university teacher for political science, among other things. Very happy to have him. We're back in the 60s, Larry, in our discussion. You were a young man and a senior in high school. You began to be attracted to the Black Panther Party, and you talked about you saw these young, disciplined men. And it seemed very appealing to you. Talk about that. What made you join, and when did you join? How? All that.
Well, actually, the thing that attracted to me was both of my parents were school teachers. Okay, I grew up on the East Coast before going to California. All right, though I graduated from high school in California, etc. But my parents, especially my dad, instilled. They were both school teachers. They instilled discipline in me, okay? They told me, look, you can disagree with me, you will do what I say, but you will have the opportunity to explain why you differ with me, but you better darn well be able to do it logically and intelligently. That's always appealed to me. All right. It's always appealed to me. That's what I mean by critical thinking. They didn't call it critical thinking then, but that's really what it was and what it is, critical thinking. That's what attracted me to the party. When I joined the party in 67, the Black Panther Party, one of the things that we did was we debated one another. Okay, because we would read books and then we'd come back weekly and we'd discuss what we'd read. And it was no shucking and jiving. You better have read the book, because we would know if you hadn't read the book, if you were just, you know, shucking and jiving. All right. And
so hold on. Wait a second. Yeah. So basically the group, I'm getting the impression, or I have gotten the impression, it's a self-empowerment group for everybody in it, and then to the community also. So you're having basically a self-empowerment group of young men, young black men, in these communities. You would have a book assigned. They were assigned to kind of get together to debate. It was almost like your own school class, your own college class going on, yes?
It was. I mean, of course it was. People never think, how can I say never? People rarely, thanks to the vomit stream media, both then and today, people rarely think of the party members, and I might say men and women. There were plenty of women in the party, though probably by far more men, but the women worked very diligently and were very intelligent and very sincere and important, and they, in fact, were the backbone of the party. But anyway, of course, it was about reading, studying, debating. And when I say debate, I don't mean nasty. I mean critically thinking. It's like, well, bro, why do you think this? Oh, what do you think so-and-so meant? What did Gandhi mean by this? What did Dr. King mean by that? What did Malcolm mean by blah, blah, blah? How do you interpret this? What did Sartre, the French philosopher, or Camus, the French philosopher, what did he mean? How do you enter? This was extremely important, you know, but all the media put forth, the vomit stream media was, oh, there are a bunch of militants running around and they want to hurt white folks. And it was wrong. It was wrong. It was a lie. Some of our closest allies were white. And I remember them and remember them well. So
when you heard that, you know, your group and, you know, when you joined, the party was in relative infancy. When you heard that coming back from the media, did you guys think, my gosh, why are they doing this? Why are we getting so much attention? What do they care what we're doing, what we're reading books and debating each other and helping our community? Why are they so concerned with us? I mean, what was going through your mind?
What was going through my mind was, what the heck is going on? The question that you ask, we ask each other, why are they doing this? Remember, we were young. We had no idea of what we were really up against. We had no idea, for example, until years later about things like Operation Mockingbird. I'm sure the Power Hour audience knows about Operation Mockingbird, which had already started by the CIA in the 50s and early 60s, you know, where they planted and embedded so-called journalists to shape
so-called
and form opinion. Yeah, so-called indeed. You know, and so, of course, I mean, we didn't even know at that time. We suspected, but we did not know at that time that there was something called COINTELPRO. We later found out what was actually going on, how the party was being infiltrated by provocateurs, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what I try to warn my brothers and sisters about of all colors today. Be careful. When somebody says do blah, 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 think it through. Don't just jump in the saddle. Know the horse. And so it's, yeah, I mean, what can I say? Of course, I often wondered myself personally, how can these people sell these lies? And by these people, I'm not talking color. I'm talking systemically. You know, it's AP, for example, Associated Press, you know you're lying. UPI, United Press International, you know you're lying. The Oakland Tribune, the LA Times, the New York Times, the Washington Post, you know, lying just blatantly. And, of course, why did they do that? To form public opinion. And so this is what we're up against.
Well, let's talk about Huey P. Newton. You knew him very well. What motivated him to start the, you know, what was the genesis of the Black Panther Party? Did people just see, you know, I don't want to put word, I'll just leave it open to you. What was their motives in starting this group?
Well, from what I understand, from having spoken with not only Huey, but other veterans of the party, is that he and Bobby Seale, both of them, just got sick. And by the way, what people don't know about the Black Panther Party, it was actually formed on a college campus. There were two colleges at that time in Oakland. Well, there were more than two, but the two college campuses I'm talking about that existed at that time in Oakland, California, were Laney College, L-A-N-E-Y, and Merritt College. And anyway, and Bobby and Huey met on these campuses, and eventually the party was formed around the issue of the brutality being carried out against quote unquote, I don't like the term communities of color, because what are white people, transparent? Anyway, it's
funny.
I just have a problem with that, but especially in quote unquote black communities, and we were saying, or they were saying, look, we need to empower ourselves. Stop relying on the government. Empower yourself. All this dope, and I mean drugs, and this has got to stop. I mean,
Let me interject right there, because was it 64 was the civil right, the quote unquote Civil Rights Act by Johnson, mm-hmm. you know, the black man's best friend, the Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Right.
Give me a break. Did obviously Huey and Bobby, they kind of felt that, hey, we're being sold a bill of goods here. This is BS. This is just to entrap us. This isn't helping us at all. They had to feel some of that, or did they?
Oh, absolutely they did. Look, let me tell you something. Bobby was actually had been a member long before the party was established. Bobby was a member of the NAACP. Okay, and again, people think that they just popped up. No, it was a process that both Huey and Bobby went through, and they reached a point where they realized this is a game. This is all a vicious, insidious game. This is why today, when I look at these Democrats, so-called Democrats, I see that they've been playing this game for so long and effectively against all of us. They keep black people on the Democrat Party plantation by saying, I'm going to make things better. They're not going to make things better. Number one, the only people who can make things better are we ourselves individually. Number two, they have no intention of making things better, because if they do that, when I say better, I mean economically, socially, and politically, if they did that, then what would happen to their platform? It's like, no, I got to keep these people ensnared. I've got to keep them on the plantation. This is the way I can control and manipulate him. Like that fat-headed John Lewis from Georgia. Like that Congresswoman Maxine Waters, you know, from California. Like, I mean, I can go on and on and on. These people are black only biologically. Obama was only nominally black and only biologically at that. They're black to us. And the party didn't represent mere color. It represented an attitude of self-empowerment. It represented, look, this is what we can do and should be doing ourselves. Stop all this murdering and this killing of one another. I don't want to hear about why. Yeah, we understand why, but we have the power to stop it. Let me tell you, Daniel, the dope pushers, okay, who were many times being supported by the police and the CIA themselves, the dope pushers, hated us more than they hated the police, because we said, y'all got to get that out of our community. Get out of the community. Just get out.
Oh,
and we meant
it. This is
okay?
Critical. This whole period that we're talking about, the, you know, we can say from Kennedy's assassination, you know, right before that through to Woodstock, basically, this is such a key period. And did you, I don't mean to get you off track of what you're saying, but in the party, did you talk about things like, hey, they killed Kennedy? Did you guys know Oswald didn't kill Kennedy? Did you talk about this openly?
We at the time, we strongly suspected that Oswald didn't kill Kennedy. But by the time I left the party, which was around late 72, early 1973, we knew that Oswald did not kill Kennedy.
So you join in 67, 68's the next year, obviously 68, pivotal year. I think MLK came first. There was Malcolm X, MLK, and RFK all in that same year. I think Martin came first.
Malcolm was, they killed Malcolm in 65. They killed Martin in April 4th, 1968. Okay. And when they assassinated Bobby. In fact, I was in L.A. just a few blocks away from the hotel where Bobby was assassinated. And by then we knew something is rotten in Denmark. These things are planned. But we didn't have the proof. Common sense told us. But then a few years later, well, the proof began to surface. It began to surface.
Talk about that proof. I mean, because there's this is, I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around how important this conversation we're having is. And for people listening, I hope they feel too. At least that's what I feel. Maybe I could be totally off base, but I don't think so. This conversation we're having about events that occurred 55 years ago are essential to understanding what we're dealing with now and what we're facing right now. So talk about this proof. Talk about, we have an instinct. People of thought have a sixth sense. Hey, something's wrong. This is happening. Whatever. It's kind of like, just like you fellas did there in 67. What proof came later? What obvious things came later to where you knew that there were deeply seated organizations that were working for your destruction to stop and shape public opinion against you, to stop you and against really anybody who was trying to empower the American, who was trying to lift the American back up to his proper stature as our founding fathers did? What did you see?
Well, I'm going to give you a couple of examples. One, you remember when King was assassinated in 68, April 4th, 1968. Okay. The narrative was that this one guy, I'm trying to remember his name, but it wasn't the guy who
James
assassinated. James Ray Jones is something like that, I believe. Yeah. But anyway, some years later, okay, lo and behold, the King family takes the U.S. federal court, the U.S. federal government to court. And lo and behold, it surfaces that indeed the feds themselves were involved in the assassination. You can still find it today. You can still find, and it was through a civil suit. The civil suit that I believe it emanated actually in Memphis and in Tennessee that the King found. But you don't hear about it. You didn't hear the media putting that all over, did you? You didn't hear the media putting that about.
All right, let me pause you.
Go ahead.
Me pause you right there. Again, I apologize, but I think this is so important.
That's all right.
Okay, we've seen this. Definitely the FBI was watching Martin Luther King. There's been certain reports about he was involved in certain things, whatever. I don't know how important that is. He seemed like on some level that he was, should I say a tool of the deep state, or the deep state was certainly positioning him around, even though his message was incredible, but then they decided to kill them. I mean, am I off base here? What your perception of what you saw of King, and why would they have to kill him?
They had to kill him because King signed his own death warrant a year earlier, almost to the day, in 1967. And I'm trying to remember the name of the church where he spoke. He signed his own death warrant. Look up Beyond Vietnam, Dr. Martin Luther King. When he came out against the war in Vietnam, that was it. He had to die. He had to die. And he signed his own death warrant. A year later, they killed him. He was dead. okay? It's all, something like Malcolm X. As long as Malcolm, and with all due respect, because I did meet Malcolm and I love and respect him, but only because Malcolm evolved. As long as Malcolm was running around talking about the white devil this, the white devil that, oh, they loved him. Why? Because that served their purpose. But the instant Malcolm realized that he was on the wrong path or misleading path, that he was following a yellow brick road to hell, as it were, and he started saying, wait a minute, this is about all people. It's not about no white devil. It's not about no this or no that. It's about all of us. Then Malcolm had to die. And he was assassinated in New York, at the ballroom in New York in 1965. You see, when they lost, the deep state, the controllers, when they lost control, then they would wipe you out. They would, and the media would have this narrative already prepared, you know, to rationalize what happened. And I mean,
I'm interjecting again, but this is so, God, this is crucial. Because, you know, for people who are listening or just, maybe you're just new to the Power Hour and you haven't heard guests talk like this. The narrative, you know, Kennedy assassination, we know now, I mean, that's clear as day. The narrative was already done. The newspapers, it was already all over the world, exactly the backstories, they were already written. All of this was planned. All of this was in place. And this was 50 something years ago. I mean, God Almighty, what do you think they're doing today to control us?
Exactly.
Let me ask you about John Lennon. I don't know. This is many years later, but John Lennon, I can remember him on the Dick Cavett show. And this is in the early mid-70s. And Dick Cavett says, well, I think there's too many people. We have overpopulation. And he's spouting that nonsense. And then John Lennon said, well, I don't care what you think. You know, I don't care what you think. It was just like, oh my gosh, he just neutralized, you know, somebody of his stature. Certainly didn't agree with everything John Lennon stood for, did, or what have you. But his fame and his ability to go off script, so to speak, and to be his own person in certain things was very dangerous to the system. And in 1980, they killed him. Do you see the same thing, the same pattern in his life that you saw in King and Malcolm X?
And Kennedy, of course. There's a DVD which I would urge the audience to research and get. It's called The U.S. versus John Lennon. Again, The U.S. versus John Lennon.
It
is powerful. It's a documentary. It is powerful. And when after you watch it, you walk away going, that's what I always thought, but now here's the proof. Okay, because it shows the documents. This was not some just off the wall killing. The same thing with I know I'm jumping all over the place, but the same thing in 1963 when John Kennedy was killed, when he was assassinated. Kennedy signed his own death warrant when he said that he wanted to shred the Central Intelligence Agency into 1,000 pieces. That was when he signed his own death warrant. Okay, Martin Luther King signed his death warrant. And I say signed it, I don't mean they wanted to die. I mean, this is when the deep state decided that these people had to go. Okay, look it up. See what Kennedy said. See how angry Kennedy was about the CIA so-called Bay of Pigs invasion and how it was all a setup. Okay, but I urge people, you know, he said he wanted to he either said 1,000, and I say he, I'm talking about John Kennedy, he either said 1,000 pieces or 1,000,000 pieces, but he because he understood. But you see, prior to that, then President Dwight D. Eisenhower had given us, shall I say, a tidbit when he was leaving the presidency. He was the one who came up with the term the military-industrial complex. But he only put it out there as he was leaving. But at least he put it out there. He put it out there. And people... Go ahead, brother.
Well, we only got a couple minutes. Finish your thought, and then I got one final
topic.
No,
I'm done. I'm done, bro. Go ahead.
I know when we were talking before, you wanted to discuss the so-called quote-unquote black leaders and how they're not leaders at all, but they're really Judas goats. I'm going to frame it in kind of a little separate question.
Right.
Last time you were on, you quoted from Harriet Tubman, and I thought that quote about slavery, I thought that was so profound. Please share that quote, and then how does that relate to what we're seeing in the black communities now, these so-called black leaders? And it's really not a black or white. The white people got the same thing, quote-unquote, or whatever.
Exactly.
Harriet Tubman's quote, and then what you see in the black, quote-unquote, black leadership.
Yeah, the first of all, I love it. I love this quote by Harriet Tubman. I'm going to paraphrase it. Essentially, what she said was, I freed, you know, she was an abolitionist, a slave abolitionist. Okay, and she said, you know, I freed 1,000 slaves. I could have freed 1,000 more if only they would recognize / acknowledge that they were slaves. Think about that.
Wow.
That's deep. And that applies to all of us, irrespective of our gender or our color. Okay, that's why I refer to the Democrat Party as a Democrat Party plantation. Now, with respect to so-called black leaders, we've got to understand that they're not leaders. Okay, all they are is prompts. Okay, props, like in a play. If you go see a play, you see the props up there on the stage. That's what these, I call them Negroidians, okay, as in no growth, pimps. Pimps, and those are nice terms. There are other terms that I could use, but this is a radio show and a family show.
Yeah, it's a family show here, Larry.
You know, so, you know, but the so-called black leaders are not black leaders. They are black, biologically black misleaders. Misleaders. All of us, including black people, need to wake up and see the damage that they have committed against all of us. Obama, Barack Hussein Obama. Oh, my God, I've done so much research on this guy. Even before he became president. It's just amazing. We have all got to wake up. And thank you so much, my brother. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. We'll have you on again. I'd like to have you on at least semi-regularly if you're able. Your voice is extremely important. And unfortunately, this broadcast, you know, I didn't quite realize it when I started, but I certainly do now. This is one of the very few places where you can have somebody like Larry on, an intelligent, interesting, unique thought. Very important. So, Larry, God bless you. God keep you. God magnify your voice.
Thank you. Be safe, my brother. Be safe.
I will. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed the broadcast today. Great, another great show tomorrow. You have a great evening. Your family is the most important thing in our republic. Your family and our republic. God bless you. Talk to you tomorrow.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking carnivora.
When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us today.